You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, and welcome to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there. Thank y'all for tuning in this good Saturday morning live on the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I have a special guest on with me this morning. I am running without host, which I know I don't like to do. So I did task a couple of my queens of intellect to hopefully tune in and maybe call in for a few minutes. But I think my special guest for the first hour, for the whole time with us, and we'll bring on a second guest in the second hour, I should say. But I think my first guest will absolutely be able to hold me down. But again, we'd love to get y'all perspectives on everything. But let's introduce her without further ado. Shani Curry, thank you, Queen, for being with us. If you will, say hello to the intellectual outcasts, as I call my listeners out there listening. And if you will, Queen, give them a little bit of your background before we let the cat out of the bag on this discussion questions. But thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being able to share this morning with you, and hopefully we'll be able to get into some good conversation. I am from sunny South Florida, so I hope that I can share some of my sunshine and money intellect with you guys this morning.
No, I love it, and we need some sunshine up here in hot Atlanta. It's kind of rainy these last couple of days, so yeah, if you can bring the sunshine, I'm gonna call you the best guest I ever had if you could do that.
For sure. You know, you guys don't have any lakes and waters nearby, so you know that's always that bit of a hot heat and humidity that just does my hair so inappropriately. But I love Atlanta.
Yeah.
I love Atlanta.
Yeah.
That will be my next place after Miami. After Miami, that's next.
Okay, I can dig it. Yeah, we are landlocked. We have people that move here from Cali. That's the thing that they miss the most is the water. So I definitely understand that. And you're right, it definitely makes it hot Atlanta. But right now we are experiencing a rainy day. But without further ado, if you are a first-time listener, we do the show via a question, because again, I go by Black Socrates, so we take the Socratic method, typically on issues of race, sex, and culture, but I love to visit business questions, and I would consider this as somewhat of a business conversation, just because these are things we should have been taught in high school. And this morning's discussion question is home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. And so the way we like to start the show, Shani, if you will, is I know I sent you a couple of versions of the show, and this is kind of the final version of the question that I settled on. And so when you saw the question worded this particular way, can you recall the initial thought that popped in your mind?
I can't recall the initial thought that popped into my mind when I saw the question, but just now when you said it, I always find that, I've been in my industry, which is personal finance, for the last 12 years, and I generally find that question very interesting when people say things that I should have learned in, in high school or even college when it comes to, you know, making any financial purchases. And we just have to keep in mind what school was created for in the first place, right? You just look at the time blocks in which schools are organized. It's specifically for, you know, parents to be able to go off to, you know, factories. And then basically what school is for is to prepare you to at some point become another factory worker. So it makes, you know, a lot of sense as to why the American school system would not be properly preparing you economically, because that would then begin to create a bit of resistance in their system of making sure that you continue to remain as a factory worker. So that's the first thought that comes into mind whenever it is that I hear that particular question. I have two children, which are 10 and 12, and for sure, I don't have many expectations for the American school system to give them any level of economic empowerment, because I understand that the system wasn't particularly, created to do that, you know?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, that's a beautiful history lesson to the education system. A lot of people haven't heard that history, right? Like people, a lot of people are not aware of that history. And here's to go a little in depth, just a little in depth on that nuance. And that's a beautiful place to start, if you will. It's at the end of the day, the thing that most people have at least come to understand, and also another little aspect of history that you won't be taught in school, but people at least after they've lived and kind of lived out and lived in the world, they'll come to understand that to the degree the country's whole system is kind of based on what the business class wants. When we get into the the founders of the country.
Not just wants, but needs.
Absolutely. Even more importantly, you're right, to your point, even more importantly, what they need in order to, quote unquote, let's go, if we're going all the way back to the beginning, to build up this country, if you will. And so, obviously, as African-Americans in this country or whatever, we've spent all these years, in a sense, asking the country, if you will, to live up to its ideas that were written by the quote-unquote original founders, but we understand that those original ideas were for, in a sense, those founders and who looked like themselves. But here's the other reality, because sometimes we simplify this. It wasn't simply white and black, if you will. It was the business class, landowners, who were basically writing the Constitution, setting up the school system, to your point, to benefit what the business class, who were, in a sense, going to quote unquote raise up the country, and what, as you said, they needed. So I'm going into this little detail before we go to our first break to really highlight this. It is pretty normal that at quote unquote the idea of public school education, which is in a sense new if you think about human existence, if you will, but public school education absolutely is going to set up the education, say, hey, here's the skills and things that we need in order to have a working class. And so so even to this day, the changes that you see within the school system as we're moving into a more artificial intelligence society, a STEM society, if you will, you will see curriculum absolutely geared towards what a business wants. I'm from South Carolina originally, and I remember when the BMW plant came to Greenville, South Carolina, and it became a huge employer for that upstate area of South Carolina. They absolutely, as they were saying, getting the bid to say, hey, we're going to actually move to Greenville, South Carolina, they absolutely went to the school system and says, hey, here's some things we need added to the school system if people are going to come work for us. And that's just something that people typically are not aware of, and that's why your point is so poignant, if that makes sense.
Exactly, 100%. So that would be the first way to, approach that, And then the other thing in terms of just from the point of, we learned so very much from what was not done properly. I grew up, my family, my mother, my grandmother, my grandfather, my grandmother's from Georgia, and then my grandfather was from Alabama. And then my mother had me when she was really, really young. She had me when she was like 16 years old. And so when I hear people saying that, when I hear people saying that, you know, what our parents also didn't teach us and things, but me, when I look at what I might not have learned from my mother or my grandfather or my grandparents, I learned so much in the adverse, right? So it's kind of like looking at the adverse of lessons as opposed to constantly looking at what I did not receive. But you receive so much in what you don't receive. There's so much value in what you don't get. I love opposites. I've learned so much from opposites in my life that it's just made the process so much easier. So I remember being a little girl going to pick out a car with my grandparents, and my grandfather was a construction worker, and then my grandmother was a cosmetologist. So essentially, I grew up as a child to entrepreneurs. We had the biggest house in the neighborhood. We had the best cars in the neighborhood. So I can remember I had to be maybe about 10 or 12 years old, and I went to the car dealership with my grandparents, and my grandmother was turning in her Cadillac at that time. She had a green one already, and so my favorite color as a child was,
Let me do this real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's a good teaser coming after the break. I got to go to my first break, and I want you to finish this beautiful story right after the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back, everyone. Listening, if you want to get in on this morning's discussion, we have personal finance professional Shanique Curry with us this morning. So we'll be answering all your questions about how to buy a car, but I can't wait to hear this story after the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Do you simply want your taxes done this tax season, or do you prefer to have your taxes completed by a professional on top of current and constantly changing tax codes? If so, look no further than S-Kinds Accounting and Tax Services, where each year, plenty of satisfied customers from around the country return for an efficient and professional tax experience. For small businesses, S-Kinds Accounting and Tax not only provides bookkeeping and accounting on a monthly, quarterly, and or yearly basis, but S-Kinds Accounting and Tax goes above and beyond to provide yearly tax strategies to increase the bottom line, profits. While no one likes when Uncle Sam or the IRS comes knocking, know you're in good hands with S-Kinds Accounting and Tax. Call them today at 770-947-3667. Again, that's 770-947-3667, or email them at advice@thetaxcoach.com.
If you have a trade-in, whether you owe money on it or not, I recommend bringing the trade-in to the picture last. If they ask you if you had to have a trade-in, you say, you know what, I don't have a trade-in. I have a car, but I don't even think I'm going to trade it in. But you really are, but you're going to bring it in last. The reason why is this gives them all the dealership is working with is the price of the car. They can't jerk you around on a trade-in value, okay, because they only have one item to negotiate with on here, which gives you the opportunity to negotiate on the price of that car. All right, you get this price of the car down as low as possible, right? Now that you know that you have a good deal on the car, then you say, okay, yeah, I do want to trade in my car, and you bring in your trade-in, right? Go to Kelley Blue Book, find out what your trade-in is worth, because you don't want to get jerked around on your trade-in value, all right? They don't really like when you do that, but if you do it that way, you'll be better off, okay? And don't be surprised if they lowball you on your trade, because they know they already gave you a discount on the car. You're saying you're not going to go back on your price on the car. You already told me I can get this $25,000 car for $23 or whatever, right? So they might come in and lowball you on your trade-in when you bring it in last. They don't really like that. So that's why you got to know what your trade-in is worth and fight for every dollar you can get, all right? But the moral of the story is don't be fooled by just concentrating on your monthly payment and your money out of pocket.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying. What I wasn't taught in high school, our special guest is Shanique Curry. If you will, Queen, let's finish your story, and we'll get into that cut we just heard as well. Sorry about the interruption. Go ahead, Queen.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. So so anyway, I was just saying that you learn so much in the adverse of things. People are always saying what my parents didn't teach me, what the school didn't teach me, things like that. So I remember going to the car dealership with my grandmother to trade in her, you know, her green Cadillac at the time. And I remember that I kept pushing them and pushing them, like, just get the pink one, get the pink one, get the pink one. So they ended up getting a pink one or whatever. So that was probably like just like the biggest, like, you know, now that I look back down on those on that particular time, I think that it was huge that my grandparents even took. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Yeah, you good.
Okay, got it. Okay, good. So I thought it was huge that my grandparents even took me along to the car dealership, right? So that's now something that I do with my children, right? That's something that I do with them so that the first time that they have the opportunity to kind of sit at a sales table is not, you know, 15 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later. Take your children with you to the car dealership, you know, just the same way that my grandparents allowed me to kind of be a part of that transaction. I think that I negatively influenced them to definitely, you know, get into some car debt that they didn't need. However, I did have the opportunity to, you know, be at the table. So that's one of the principles that I keep with me. Oftentimes when I'm making major purchases, not just, you know, not just a car per se, but if I'm opening up my credit card bill, if I'm opening, you know, if I'm looking at a mortgage, if I'm looking at another property to pursue, my children are very well included in that transaction just so that it's not the first time 15, 20, 30 years later.
No, absolutely. I love that. And it's like, to the point, it's very intentional. It's very intentional. We absolutely understand that our quote unquote babies absorb things when they're young or whatever, but it's the same thing even when you're teenagers in high school, you know, in high school and things of that nature. It's like, even if it feels like you're dragging them along, because, you know, at that point, sometimes they're too cool to even want to hang out with you, right? But,
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Queen.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes my boys are still a little bit younger, so they're 10 and 12, so they don't really have as much autonomy about where they can and cannot go. They're not, you know, they're not there yet. They push it a little bit, but it's not in an exaggerated sense. And oftentimes, because we've been having these financial conversations for a long time, it's kind of standard. So interesting enough, as we move into this particular economy more aggressively, and we're going to start seeing even more repossessions, you know, as you continue to see the numbers in terms of unemployment that they've been hiding for so very long, you see the unemployment rate, you know, they still have it kind of like, you know, balanced out. But every time you're looking at the news, you're seeing large corporations doing these massive layoffs. This is an indicator to you that a lot of things that was purchased, you know, last 2 years, that was definitely, you know, inflated. Housing was inflated. Cars was inflated. What that means is that these repossessions are coming, you know, more and more into the marketplace. My younger son, and I actually received a phone call from one of my clients, and she was saying, well, Shawnee, what should I do? Should I do an involuntary repossession, or should I just let them come and get it? So interesting enough, involuntary repossession or a voluntary repossession, they're going to show up completely on your credit report essentially the same. There's really no difference in terms of your credit and how they report. So that's the first thing that I told her. She actually bought a car, and now they're upside down in the car where, like, they've had the car for maybe about 3 years, and the car still worth $32,000. It was a Lexus. They asked me, you know, do you want to buy it? And I started thinking to myself, do I want to buy this car? Does this even make any sense? Because they've at least taken $15,000 off of the cost of the car. So now I'm just, you know, I have to pay the remainder in the balance. So I started giving that math to my 12-year-old, and I started saying, you know, do you think we should do it? And so he said, well, how much are those people's car payment? I said, well, their car payment is like $700, but we can take that same car and we can put it on Turo. He said, well, how much the minimum amount could you put it on Turo for? And I said, well, I can put it on there for like $45 a day. He's like, that's not enough money. You're still going to have so much left over. And if that car doesn't get, you know, and if that car doesn't get rented out during that particular time, you're going to be at a loss. Find a different car. So, it's, you know, Yeah, for sure. Invite him to the show next. He's the one. He's the economist. That's my 12-year-old. That's the one you want to – bring him on. He's the real economist. I'm more of the mental money person. He's the numeric person. I was also having, if you go to my page and you follow me on social media, I'm also have been talking more this month about real estate investment trust, just because I bought most of my real estate in the year of 2000 and not between 2009 and 2014. That's where the bulk of where I picked up my real estate, because we're moving into an economy that looked like that particular time. So it was much easier to purchase a property just because they were unloading so many foreclosures. A lot of economists are predicting that it's not going to be the same like it was in that period of time. I don't know if it's going to be as many, but again, I look at the foreclosure rate. South Florida, where I am here, is actually number six when it comes to the amount of foreclosures that are coming to the marketplace. Nevertheless, so we're coming back into that particular economy where the cost to purchase things is just going to become more affordable. As we continue to prepare in terms of our credit and having access to liquidity and making sure if we already purchase a property that we have, you know, top-tier credit, so that if we want to take any equity out of those properties and purchase more real estate in this market that's getting ready to come in lieu of that, I've been talking about real estate investment trust. Whereas in, if you do not have that 3.5% down or up to 20% down to purchase into real estate, you can get into what's called a real estate investment trust, or REIT.
Let me do this real quick, Shawnee, if you don't mind, because we're going to definitely do on the housing in the next hour. So I just kind of, you know what I mean? So we'll definitely get to go through that stuff. Let's go back to the cut, if you recall, that we pay off the commercial. And it's just, let's kind of simplify the nuts and bolts. But so dope that your son was able to even ask that question.
Oh, gosh. He'll give me the math, bro. He'll give me the math and tell me how that's not he. Then he'll say, that's not that. He'll break the math down for you and tell you that's not simple.
I love it. And like I said, and that's the perfect age. Like, I think sometimes that's what parents miss. Like, that age, right before, like you said, right before they get that autonomy where it's not cool to hang with you, like, that's the perfect age to mostly involve them, in my opinion. Some parents miss out on that opportunity because it's kind of like, oh, they think they're too young. Like, no, just let them be around. Let them absorb. And once they're there, they're picking it up anyway. They're there anyway. So it's like the perfect time.
Oh, yeah. They're there anyway. Yeah. They don't remember anything, but my mom didn't buy on the first, you know, even if they don't remember, you know, my mom doesn't buy a car the first day that she sees it. If that's the only thing that they remember, you know, if that's what they remember, like, you know, my mom doesn't come in and just purchase the first car. You know, she doesn't do that. She kind of shops around and she goes to different dealerships. Meets the people. She becomes friends with them. They keep calling her even long after she's left the dealership. So that, you know, just those subtle principles can save you some amount of money than getting into debt. You know, that can just, those principles. Sometimes it's not the you know, the money hacks of the universe that we all look for. Sometimes it's just those subtle things. Because last week I went to the car dealership because I'm shopping for a car myself. I went to the car dealership and a car that I had purchased prior to the used car market falling just, you know, through the ground pretty much, I had a pretty decent amount. I put like $1,500 down, and then my car payment was like $450. And just 2 years later, I went back to go and shop that same car, and now that same car is, it's like they want me to put $4,500 down, and then the car payment is $750. No way. Even though the average car payment in America right now is $700, I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it. But they have since called me, and they said now they can do $1,000 in $499. So just in me waiting has, you know, giving them a little. Yes. Just a little part of the negotiation.
No, I love it. I love it. Let's get into some of these specifics. Because what happened? Because I follow you on IG, and everybody out there, please go follow Purse Empowerment. I'll let her give out that information as throughout the show and definitely before she goes. But I love following you, and in following you and deciding to do this show, it was in part because I know you're in the shopping process, and as you know, as you do so well, you share your process, and you understand the finances of it, which is usually where most of us are missing. And we, and, you know, and a lot of us know we've bought cars emotionally, and sometimes regretted it, sometimes it's worked out okay, but for the most part, when we go back to the, this morning's discussion question, while we basically dispel the expectation of what the school system should and will teach, there's no reason that we can't today, if we will, give our children the game that we wish we would have had when we made a bad purchase. And here's something else we do. We will make the mistake and not make a point of ensuring our children don't do it. Like, and it's not even that it's, that we intentionally do it. It's just like a, such a bad experience. You don't want to talk to your children about it. When you realize, oh, I got or I got stuck in this situation, you know, you typically want to talk to another adult who can give you some advice if you're in a bad situation, but you don't think, let me go make sure my children never experience this because here are my mistakes. So hopefully for those out there listening today, y'all can get that information. So like, for example, in that cut, the cut that was played after the commercial, God pointed out, pointed the idea of, and you've pointed this out as well, not getting stuck on car payment. Like that's a maneuver that the car dealership uses against you. But if you've never heard about that, you don't know. I definitely have gotten burned that way, saying, hey, I'm concerned about having this payment. I clearly let them know. And you put out a video that says, don't let them know that. So if you will, talk about that. And then we got a caller that wants to get in as well. Go ahead, Queen.
So the biggest thing that comes into with, so not only do I'm shopping for the car for a car at this time. I used to work for Lexus, which is why like I've owned maybe about 4 to 5 Lexus cars because I know the engine, I know the car, I worked for them, so I know kind of like the process and what they're kind of made of and how they're going to treat me. So because I sold cars, the number one thing that I caution people to do is, do not tell a salesperson that you want to be within that particular, payment, right? Because what's unfortunate is they will find a way to get you in that particular payment, whether it's $500, $600, and they will put you, they will bury you in that car. You'll have 72 months, 84 months, and by the time you're finished paying for the car, it's not worth anything. It's not worth anything. So what will end up being called is negative equity, right? So you're now wanting to trade another car in. And this, I saw so many people like, you know, you're basically paying for two cars at one time. That don't ever say that. What you want to do is you want to shop at least 3 dealerships, whether if you're shopping online or whether if you're physically going to the dealership, like I prefer to do. And you want to, and I always end up with the first salesman anyway, because that's the one that I like. He was first. So I'll use that particular price with the first salesperson. So whatever number that I get at the end, I'm going to play that against all the other salesmen so that I can get the price point that I want. That's the first thing. The second thing is that because cars are so expensive right now, it's not the time to really be buying with your eyes. It's really the time to buy with your budget. You know, you want to sit down before you go into the dealership, man, woman, or child, sit down, write down your budget and figure out exactly how much room you're going to have between that car payment and your amount of savings, your amount of savings.
So let me ask this and we'll go to the caller real quick. So I love that, like you said. So basically, like I say, not shopping with your eyes because, again, as you've explained, with the market, the cars are way too high right now. So let's say I sit down, got my budget, and because I looked at my budget, you like I say, if you just look at it, and it's not hard to do. Like, some people think budgeting is so hard, right? But if you just look at what are your expenses, you know what you got coming in. And so, and that's most reasons, the reason you even have an idea of what you want to pay is because you already kind of in your head have it worked out. So I work out, I get this number. You just told me don't share the number because they're going to ask me that number. So in asking that question, just give a quick scenario on how you get away from without answering that question. So they're gonna ask
right,
you
so
that.
This is what I got away from it just last week. So they're like, well, what payment are you looking to be at? And I said, you know, I'm shopping a few cars. I actually named a car that I don't even really like. I said, I'm shopping the Alfa Romeo as well. So I'm going to also go and look at them. I don't like the Alfa Romeo at all. I don't like the engine. I don't like the way you drive. I don't like the interior. I don't like anything about it. But you want to always let them know that I have options. I have options. You don't want to communicate with them from the space of, you know, like, this is the only car that I want. I'm so in love with this car. I want to get it today. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to let them know that you have other options. So therefore, they're going to give you some of their better numbers. Yeah.
No, I love it. And I see they asked you that question directly, and you just moved away from it by talking about the other options. Very smooth. I love it. And again, that's the techniques, right? Like, I can go in saying, don't tell somebody my number, but if I haven't even thought out what I might say, you'll end up telling them that number anyway because you just haven't thought out what's my approach. So I love what you just said. You just moved. You didn't even answer the question. You just moved away. We're going to go to another break, 786. We will get to you coming out of the break. We'll be right back listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard the adage that a picture is worth a thousand words? Well, meet Livy Blue Photography, a premier company specializing in capturing your family portraits and turning them into wall art that stands the test of time. One visit to their website, livyblue.com, and you will immediately be blown away by the experience as you peruse their gallery. The lead photographer, Jalivia Northern, is a published photographer with over 10 years of experience in capturing families, weddings, and school senior portraits. If you want a breathtaking photography experience, contact Livy Blue Photography at livyblue.com. That's LIVIBLUE.com.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay, now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com, is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Again, I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Speaking of Sip and Share Wine, shout out to those, to that Black-owned winery. They put together my signature wine. We're still waiting on government approval for the official bottles, but I sold most of my promo bottles as I released my book, Reeducation of the Negro, just last month. So thank you for all the support. I'm overwhelmed by more support than I expected, and I am definitely loving my signature Montoya Smith Moscato wine by Sip and Share Wine. So I wanted to shout them out. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Our special guest is Shani Curry. We actually got a caller that wants to jump in. Area code 786, last 3307. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion or question. Go ahead.
What's happening, Montoya?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up, Rashad? Where you calling from? Are you out in Cali right now? Where you at? Just asking.
Yeah, calling out of East Oakland, California, the Bay, East Bay, like the East Bay Magazine where they used to get them shoes from. By way of Miami, Florida.
I love it. Yeah, what you got for us, King?
Yeah, so I see this today's discussion is about should
home
you
and car
negotiate
buying.
Home and car buying. Well, yeah, you should always negotiate the invoice price. You know, I know you familiar. Are you familiar with a guy named? I'm pretty sure you are. A guy named Julian Gordon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm part of Julian's movement. Mm-hmm. Black
You in the movement?
Can't think of the name of it right now. Black Family House. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
He's part of the multi-family. Multi-family movement. Multi-family buying two to four units. Well, like we discussed, because we have a course. Like we discussed in the course, a listing is not a deal. You know what I'm saying? A listing on Zillow, that's not a deal. That's how you call it? I only say face value, or that's just a listing price. But when you start to work the mechanics of buying a home, you know, you have to go get a home inspection, because a lot of these people are trying to sell homes. The owner selling the home, like when I bought my home, they needed a new roof. You know what I'm saying? So if I ain't get a home inspection, how do I know that they need a new roof? Like, that's not my expertise. I'm an electrician by trade, and I'm in the finance, and I just started a few years ago getting in the finance world. So we don't know these things. You know what I'm saying? But I heard the caller before talking about when buying cars, not telling the car dealership what you want. And there's a book that Dr. Boyce Watkins, I was in his class, I've been in his class for years, like 5 years or whatever. But he had this book in his course, in a stock market course, called by Roger Dawson. It's called The Secrets to Power Negotiating. I don't know if you ever heard of this book. But it says, Roger Dawson says that he told his daughter one day when they was going to buy a car, he said that, hey, are you willing to walk out of the dealership without a car? And she said, no. And he said, well, you already lost. You lost. Because think about it, once the car dealership know what you want, they know you want a car today, then you can't negotiate. You know, and speaking on my experience, long story short, I almost purchased a vehicle, a 2015 Toyota 4Runner, last year. I almost purchased it for 90,000 miles. I almost purchased it for $30,000. You know, because the used cars had raised up so high during inflation and these coronavirus type of stuff. But I was looking at another car. I said, you know, I was in a dealership and I was just about to close. And what stopped me from closing is this: it was a clause in there that said you have 3 days to. If you sign this, that means you have 3 days to bring the car back. So I said, okay, I'm not signing that. I mean, okay, if you don't sign it, but if you sign it, you waive your right. And I'm like, I'm not waiving my right. If you're a notary and you know, it's something that's similar to when you're closing on a home, they say.
Let me jump in on you, if you will. Now, I love you giving that example. Now, here's what I hear out of the example, and it's not a caller. Actually, it's our special guest, Shanique Curry. She's actually a guest. She's still on with us. Let me jump in and say this and ask this, because this is what I'm hearing. So I hear you make reference to the book. I'm assuming you've read the book. And I'm just walking through this as I hear it, and I want to hear what Shanique has to say about this. But as I'm listening to it, you almost, and I was just talking about this when we were explaining, I don't know if you heard when we were explaining about how sometimes we forget to tell our children our own experience. So I hear that you read this book, but just a year ago, you almost forego the actual knowledge that you had and almost bought a car, and you're explaining this one thing actually kept you from being able to, if you will, walk out of the car dealership. So, Shadi, if you will, I just kind of wanted you to jump in, because that's how I'm hearing Rashad's example.
Yeah, I was trying to
give him this information that he's aware of, but in the moment, it's not always easy to do. It sounds like luckily I'm sorry, am I misunderstanding something?
No. I was piggybacking when you say it's not easy to do, man. I knew the knowledge, and it was just it's not easy because most.
No, absolutely, Let me let Shani jump in, brother. I'll just make sure I had your information.
I was supposed to finish. I can finish it, but I didn't buy. I said, you know what? Sorry, what's that?
No, go ahead, brother.
I said before, but anyway, I said, you know what? Something fishy going on. I'm leaving. And I, in my mind, was set to leave. Man, they threw the freaking floor at me. They said, man, hold up, don't go anywhere. I said, what? I'm leaving. I go, I'm going to buy a car. I said, I'm going to buy a car this week. Whether it's with you all or whoever, I'm going to buy a car. Don't tell me what I can't get. And they kept, they said, okay, let me come back. They left about eight minutes or something. They came back. This week, oh, this week. I said, no, I'm leaving. Y'all have a nice day. He said, okay, hold on. They
Rashad,
laid up.
Rashad,
they came
Rashad
back,
if you will, brother. Rashad, brother, if you will, let me jump
ahead, back
here, brother. All right, Shani, if you will, I just want to kind of hear your assessment of what we hear. And again, that's a reality for a lot of people, is even if the information we give today in the moment, it could be difficult because the car sellers are experts at the psychology of that moment, if you will, Quinn. I just wanted to have you highlight your thoughts and hearing Rashad's situation. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay, yeah, I was asking, did you hear my question? I was just saying, what is, when you hear this brother's situation, what are you hearing? Because, again, the sellers are experts in the psychology of that moment. So even with the information they may learn from us today, I feel like Rashad's calling is a perfect example. He has some information, but in that moment, they're good at what they do as well. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on, we can give this advice, but it's not easy if you haven't thought about it. It's kind of what I'm saying. But go ahead, Queen. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on hearing his situation.
I kind of got lost in the question that he shared. So ask me one more time because I wasn't completely clear.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I was just highlighting, if you will, when he first called in, he was highlighting he was familiar with the power of negotiation. And like yourself.
Yes.
You give away your power if you're not willing to walk out. And as I heard his story, he mentioned last year he was about to buy a car. And then in that moment, he almost bought a car, even though he was equipped with the information, power of negotiation. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, as a consumer, he almost forego the actual information. And I'm in mental dialogue.
Yeah.
We want to get into the psychology of
purchasing.
Today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I'm up to speed now.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. So it's not so much what you know. It's more so what you practice, even myself, right? So I in that same post that I was talking about when I was car shopping, I actually have not purchased a car in 2 years. I got into a really, really bad car accident, completely. And this was before I bought, I've just had, my car karma is just crazy. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's like nothing you, never heard. Anyway, you'll hear a little bit of it. So my last car, I got into this horrible car accident. It was with a tow truck. It was it was just really crazy. It took a insurmountable amount of strength for me to, stuff surrounding it. So that happened right into the pandemic. So I had the opportunity where I really wasn't going anywhere anyway. So I didn't need to pick up the financial expense of purchasing a car. It would have been really easy for me because the car that I purchased, they literally so my car was completely totaled. So they handed me a check for the balance of my car, that the value of my car at that time, it was $15,000. So I could have very easily taken that $15,000 and went and bought myself another car because they had already reimbursed me for my car was total. But I wasn't really going anywhere during the pandemic. So I really didn't feel the force, the pressure to purchase another car, to spend that money, to unload it out of my account, any of it. I just let it sit there and I did some other stuff with it, whatever. So as time came about, the world started opening back up, and I remember going into the dealership when I bought my next car. I remember going into the dealership, and because I hadn't had a car for a period of time, I think I had Ubered somewhere. Yeah, I had to take my boys to the dentist. And in taking my boys to the dentist, the Uber guy was all the way on the other side of the street and all the stuff. So and mind you, this whole time I have this $15,000 at any time I can go and buy myself another car. It was nothing to me. But So finally, after that week when I took the boys to the dentist and I got frustrated with the Uber guy, I was like, man, I'm getting ready to buy me a car. I can't deal with this anymore. So it's the mental psychology of it, right? Like, it's the mental psychology of it. Like, I was like, I'm just frustrated with this. I just need to go in and get a car. And literally, I bought, like, that happened with the dentist on a Friday, and I bought a car on a Saturday. So me, for someone who kind of, like, knows, you know, all of this different stuff, like, if you're not well practiced, even you can get got. At that particular time when I went in to, you know, to get the car, it really wasn't like a huge, you know, frustration for me, because again, I'd already been sitting on a check from the insurance company for 2 years. So I felt no pressure. Like, it wasn't financially straining for me. Before, I did go into the dealership. I did kind of look at, you know, the list price. I did kind of look at the inventory price. I went on Edmunds. I did some reviews to kind of see, you know, what were other people kind of saying about this particular car. So I wasn't completely, like, impulsive, but I can tell you, even for someone who has sold cars, someone who, you know, does, you know, talks about finances, like, almost everywhere, all over, you know, the United States, even I let the frustration of, like, okay, I don't want to be dealing with this when it comes to my boys and going to the dentist, and I impulsively got it. I did some research before I went in.
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? But
I'm hearing you clearly.
The major key as to why I could have done that is because, again, I had gotten into a big car accident. I literally was already sitting on $15,000, so I already had that as a leverage, you know, as a leverage point. Most people didn't just get into a car accident, or they may not be sitting on that type of, you know, $15,000 that they can go and just spend on a car. All my cars previously came from the auction. Like, all my previous cars came from the auction, and that's something that I strongly advocate for. You know, when you do get your tax return and you do come into, you know, the average tax return is sometimes $4,000, $7,000, the average is $4,500. But let's say you save and you get to $10,000 or you get to $15,000. And I don't particularly like having car payments all the time.
Gotcha.
I don't always like having car payments.
Let me do this. Let me run to the break, and let's talk about inventory price and invoice price and the auction and all those options for people as well. Rashad,
sure.
I still got you on as well. We'll get back to you as well. Anybody else that wants to get in, 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You will have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back. All I ask is that you think.
Have you heard about that podcast, Mental Dialogue? It's so good it should be illegal. But if you miss the live show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, be sure to catch replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, and all other streaming platforms. We are the return of intelligent radio, and we are the best in the world at having hard conversations on race, sex, gender, and business in the African-American community. And remember, all I ask is that you think.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community. Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Special guest, Janique Curry. We also have a caller on the line. Rashad. Fuad just had a quick drop of Shani. I'm going to see if I can give her a call and get her back on the line real quick. Give me a second, y'all. So y'all going to hear the phone ring?
Yep.
All right. Appreciate you, brother. So I wanted to get into the difference between the inventory price and the invoice price. That's not something I was actually familiar with, so I want to definitely hear her thoughts on this. All right, let me give her another call here. Uh-oh. All right, let's see here. All right, y'all. Y'all bear with me. Just trying to get our guests back on the show.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 954-3940.
Sorry about that, y'all. I didn't reach her. Hopefully, I'll get her back on. I definitely wanted to. All right, Rashad, I'll just kind of wrap with you for a second. I'm just trying to get her back on. Hold on one second. Let me do one more thing, y'all. Sorry about this. All right, Rashad, let me bring you back in or whatever. But I thought it was pretty cool that even she was highlighting how her impulse to a degree had her just kind of up and bought a car. And I was just only pointing that out because it just distinguishes even when we have the knowledge. That's how I heard your story when you were just saying, hey, be willing to walk out. And, you know, your situation was even with the information. And again, that's what we often do. We can learn some information and think we're good. And Shani talked about the idea of the practice. So even her, as someone who had sold cars, but, you know, to her point, she had already done some of, was sitting in a good position and had a strong negotiating price by having $15,000 in the hole, if you will. So even in her doing it in an impulsive way, she had kind of lined things up. And for you, it was a certain line in that car buying process that, if you will, saved you. And all right, let me try to give her a call again. Let's see here. All right. But if you will, go ahead and speak to that while I try to. You're gonna hear the phone ringing while you're talking. But go ahead if you will.
Sorry to go on. I try to be concise, you know, and you know just when
you
I was
good.
Talking
you're
about
good. No problem. Yes, you was good. But I was just saying, but you were kind of finishing up what you were saying. I'm sorry, I cut you off, but I was just trying to let her jump into perspective. Go ahead.
Now, I'm glad you did cut me off because it gave me time to try to concise. It just gave the viewers clarity or the listeners clarity. That's what it should be, you know. But basically that book by, I'm looking at it now because, you know, I have a library in my house. So whenever I buy books, I just put them on a bookshelf, you know? So it's called The Secrets of Power Negotiating. It's by Roger Dawson. The book is absolutely amazing because I never, when I first read it 5 years ago, 6 years ago, Dr. Boyce Watkins, he introduced it to me. I never heard of that book. You see what I'm saying? So I just want to say that when we're going into these, when we're going buying cars and when we're buying homes, it helps to have it helps to read. It helps to be around people who's in this field to teach it to you, to teach you stuff like negotiating, to teach you stuff like real estate, to teach you stuff like car buying. You know what I'm saying? Because most of us just go. It helps to have friends who know about this. So you could probably do a spinoff of why we should keep certain friends around us and why certain friends.
I can dig it, bro. I want to keep it on the subject today, but I respect that.
I know.
It's all good. Let me see if I can give her a call one more time. All right, y'all bear with me. I lost my guest. I'm trying to get her back on. She's waiting for my call, but it's going to voicemail. So I'm going to try this one more time. Sorry, y'all.
Hello.
Yes, I'm trying to reach Shani.
Who?
Oh, I may have the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, y'all. This is crazy. I never had it happen like this before. All right, let's see here. All right, y'all. Let's one more try. I got a guest about to come on in 5 minutes as we move into the housing discussion, so I may have to bring them on early. All right, y'all. Sorry, I'm trying to make this happen. Y'all, please forgive me, y'all. I know we've had technical difficulties. All right, y'all. We've never had it like this before. I'm sorry. This is. All right, y'all. This is crazy. All right, I don't know what's going on now. All right. I hope I'm being heard right now. If anybody's out there listening. Now, let me just bring Effelman. I can't get her back in. Sorry, y'all. All right, y'all. Crazy moment, crazy day. I don't know what's going on with her call. I've never had it happen to this degree before, but I'm going to bring on my brother Ephraim. Hey, brother, thank you for being with me. This has kind of went too long. I'm probably losing a lot of listeners as this is happening. I've never had it happen like this before. But if you will, I know you've been listening, so any thoughts or anything that you heard within the car buying process just to kind of transition us into the home buying process? I'm going to still try to get Shani on because I wanted her to be a part of this process. Though her being a personal finance person, I wanted to have some dialogue with you and her together. So hopefully we can get her back on. But if you will, thanks for being on with us. Just any thoughts kind of pulling you in on the spot on what you've been hearing about the car buying process before we move to the home buying process, because you are a real estate agent, if you will, but we'll go to break and get your background out of break. But any thoughts about what you've heard so far, if you're able to tune in with us?
Yeah, good morning. I like a lot of what I heard, especially since I haven't had a lot of experience buying cars at dealerships, even though I worked at a couple of dealerships way back in the day. But I like what she was saying about, especially not, I guess it's just not showing your hand, but aside from the car buying process specifically, when we're talking about including children in on different things as far as just letting them see you shopping for a house or a car, letting them see you paying the mortgage, and teaching them about the basics. And I like what you said about the small, simple principles that make a difference. And it doesn't have to be these big financial hacks, you know, just simple things like budgeting, like knowing what your budget is, knowing how to save, and all those things come into play, whether it's buying a car or buying a home. And that's one of the some of the main things that I was going to speak on as well, just first including the kids, getting them, talking to them about these things early so they hear the terminology and they get to learn the basics, teaching them about, you know, how to save and get the money together that you need for whatever it is you want, whether it's a down payment or, you know, whatever.
Nah, good stuff. Let me try to give her a call. She can't get back in. I'm going to give her one more call, and we'll go to break and try to get her back in. If not, it'll be just you and me riding out. So anybody else out there listening, call in. My guest is having trouble calling in, so I want to find out if there's a universal problem or it's just something in particular with her phone. So give me a second, y'all. Just bear with me. Let me give her another call. All right, y'all going to hear the phone ringing. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to our top of the hour break, and we'll get back to our discussion this morning of home and car buying.
Here we go.
Hello, Shani?
Yes.
Okay, we got you, Queen. We're going to try to make this work. I went ahead and brought in my second hour guest just trying to make this work. All right, so if everybody's there listening, Queen, if you will, just to kind of get through this last few moments because we've been trying to reach you and call, and it rings on the air for everybody. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump to a break, and we'll come out of the break and let them know about what you have going on Wednesday, and we'll move into the home buying process as well, if that makes sense. Again, we're just trying to make this thing work live on the air, if you will.
Yep.
But if you will, just bear with us through this break, and we'll get you reintroduced and to our guest, Ephraim Abdullah, who's our real estate agent, for the second hour of the show. All right, y'all. Thank y'all for bearing with me. If y'all been able to bear through that, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. You want to get in, the number is 646-787-1691. You have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. We'll be right back.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand, it's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African-Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetup, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
All right, there are three trending headlines that should let you know that it is going to become a lot easier to purchase a home. Let's look at this first one. So this one is the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, right? I feel that the large part of the bank collapsing had a lot to do with the Fed rate hike. I'm hoping that this is a signal to them that they need to stabilize lower rates so that those that would like to purchase a home will feel more confident to do so, and then their banks will get money so that they can loan it out. So this next headline is about foreclosure and how they have been increasing by 167% up from last year. What that should signal to you is that the cost to purchase a home is going to become more affordable. Yes, you do have to beat the banks simply because they are rehabbing them very, very fast so that they can continue to rent them out. However, this does show that pricing is going to be more affordable. And now this last one, where it is showing that President Biden's budget includes $175 billion. $10 million of those dollars are allocated specifically for down payment assistance. This should signal to you that there is going to be down payment assistance available to you as we move into 2023-2024 to purchase a home.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Our special guest is Shani Curry, personal finance expert, as well as new guest, Ephraim Abdullah, real estate agent. It's Shani Curry, our expert, breaks down how she foresees the home buying market. Right before we do that, because we didn't really get to close out the last segment exactly like we wanted to, Shani, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick, just kind of a quick synopsis, a couple things we didn't get to cover. What is the ideal situation for your, if you will, your 12-year-old who at 18 or whenever, you may purchase a car for them before that, but let's say at finishes college and now wants to go out and buy a car himself. What is the ideal setup you would have him do, and he doesn't have mommy in, you know, in the back saying, hey, make sure you do this and make sure you do that. What would you want him to know sitting down to purchase his first car? Would you want it to be a new car, a used car, and what's ideal in your opinion?
So ideally, my son, that was interesting. So the first car is going to come from an auction anyway. That's just going to be a gift. So that's the first part. So he's not going to be like kind of bogged down with, you know, transportation challenges when he's in college and when he's going to school and things like that. So that's the first thing. It'll be a car that comes from the auction. But let's say he's graduated and now he's making his own money and he decides that the car that I bought him from the auction is no longer suitable to, you know, usher him into his new life. I would, number one, want him to obviously know that there is a sticker price, and I would like for him to be able to negotiate on that particular price. In the market that we're in right now, a lot of people feel that they were not in the space where they could go in and start, you know, negotiating from the inventory price just because supply and demand wasn't really in the favor of negotiation. You pretty much had to gain access to, you know, what was there because supply and demand was so out of whack when it came to the pandemic. Thankfully, you know, when my child gets ready to do that, hopefully he won't be up against those odds and he will be able to negotiate the inventory price. I would also hope that...
Explain the difference between those two?
Well, the inventory price is how much the car dealership got the car for. Right. And when I work in the way how I know that people actually can purchase from the inventory price is because I worked at the dealership. Older white men will walk into the dealership, into the Lexus dealership, and they will tell me that I will pay $2,000 over the inventory price. Do you want the deal or not? They walked in with cash that they had either pulled from their insurance policies because they were not going to be dealing with the lending that came from whether it was a credit union, whether it was from the bank. They were giving themselves their own loans because they were taking that money out of their insurance policies and purchasing cars. When they weren't doing that, they were showing up with checks from the credit union. So those are the two things. A lot of them are their own banks or they only go to the credit union so that they can get, you know, the best possible rate for borrowing money. Those are the two things that I would want for my son to be able to do. You know, so those would be big things, is that they're, you know, they're giving loans themselves. A lot of people say that you have the ability to write off your car. Yes. Still have my car, I would write off a percentage of the car based on the amount of usage. But a lot of people do that and they go, let me buy a G-Wagon. Well, you still got to pay for that G-Wagon the entire year before you can even write it off. You know what saying?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Hopefully that's sense. Not the thought process. You know,
for
that's not the thought process that my child goes to the dealership with. Mm-hmm.
No, I love it. I love it. Again, I just wanted to kind of just give a quick synopsis, and those are two key things that people can take that we can transition. And let me, again, introduce Ephraim Abdullah. Thank you, brother, for coming on a few minutes early. But if you will, brother, real quick, give your background. You are one of the top realtors here in the Atlanta area. If you will, give a little bit of your background as we transition into the home buying process. And hopefully you can recall some of the things that you heard Shani spoke to in that cut. But let's introduce you first, and then we'll get back to the market that we're currently in. Let's start there with the home buying. But thank you for being with us, King. I'm sorry, let me bring you live. Sorry. You're live now. Go ahead, King.
Okay. Good morning. Appreciate you having me on the show this morning. I've been involved in real estate since as early as 2007. I got started a little bit on the construction side, learning a little bit about, you know, how that process works, building and how mortgages and all that stuff work. I've been a licensed professional real estate agent for about 9 years now in the Atlanta area. Real estate is everything. Everywhere you look, everything you see is real estate. So you can't get away from it. You can't get around it. And, you know, there's still the case that most millionaires are made using real estate. So, real estate is the thing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, so let's go back to some of Shani's cut, if you will, where she highlighting that she anticipates that pricing is going to get to a space, because people, one of the biggest concerns, especially when we're experiencing interest rate hikes and things of that nature, there's always, in a sense, people that have this concept of trying to buy at the perfect time. And Shani highlighted in her span of buying real estate, she bought at a very advantageous time. So there are times that are, if you will, more advantageous than others. But what about the headlines that she pointed out in that cut where she says, hey, things are probably going to be in the favor of buyers here pretty soon compared to the lack of inventory that we've experienced the last, I guess, maybe year or so. And I may not be saying all the terminology correctly, but anyway, jump in, King, and kind of clarify what you heard and your thoughts to what she said.
Yeah, some things I agree with part of what she said and disagree with other parts. Part I agree with is that interest rates, as a result of the bank collapse, you know, the Silicon Valley Bank was the first one, and there's been a few since then. As a result of that, the interest rates have started to creep down slowly. I mean, they actually have come down about a point from the high point, the high where they were a few weeks ago, over seven, about a 7.25%, down to about 6.25% now. So I agree that that is making home buying more affordable for buyers because the monthly payment amount, which allows you to qualify for a little bit higher price of a home, which gives you a little bit more leverage in the market. So what I disagree with is the idea that the foreclosure is going to start pushing prices down. It's true that foreclosures are up well over 100% from last year, but you hear that percentage. Wow, foreclosures up over 100%. That sounds huge, but the actual numbers are, we only had 150,000 foreclosures last year, so we're up to 324 approximately this year. That's the over 100%. But to put that in perspective, back in 2007, 2008, or leading up to the financial crash in 2007, we had 1.3 million foreclosures, right? So that's about four times the amount that we have in 2022. 2008, we had 2.3 million. 2009, we had 2.8 million. 2010, we had 2.9 million. And we had well over a million foreclosures every year all the way up to 2015. That's a huge number of homes that were on the market. That increased the inventory tremendously. Mm-hmm. When I remember when I first got into real estate in Atlanta, there were over 100,000 active listings on the market in the Atlanta metro area. Today we have less than 10,000. We have less than 10% of that. So even if foreclosures triple, we won't have enough to significantly impact the pricing in the market right now, just because the inventory is so far behind. Right now we have, I mean, that it's about 9,000 or so houses on the market in the metro Atlanta area, and all real estate is local. So what's happening in Atlanta is not the same thing that's happening in Dallas or LA or San Diego, right? So I have to speak on what I know, you know, specifically, which is the Atlanta metro market.
No, that makes sense. I thought you were finished. Go ahead, brother.
Well, all I was saying is in order for us to be at a balanced market in the Atlanta metro area, we need about 40,000 homes on the market. So now we're under 10, we're less than a quarter of what we need to be balanced, and that keeps prices kind of level. So what we've seen in the last few months, we did see a peak last summer. We saw a dip in the fall and winter, which is a normal seasonal cycle of real estate. You always see a peak. You normally see a peak in the summer. You see it fall and winter, just because fewer people are buying homes in the fall and winter. Most people want to get in place before the school year starts, so on and so forth. So we heat up in the spring and summer. We cool down in the fall and winter. That happened this year. We dropped from the peak because prices had gone up so much. We dropped about 12.5-13% in Atlanta area from the peak in June. But now we've gone back up 2 months.
Yeah, let me jump Shawnee in if you don't mind, King.
Yeah.
And so,
okay.
Shawnee, I don't know, are you in the Miami market? I think if that's correct. So maybe like to his
mm-hmm.
point, maybe
yeah,
things
I'm
are a little
like
different.
Yeah, I'm in the market. So to his point, so when I picked up most of my real estate, I picked it up between the time of 2009 and 2014, and that was a different foreclosure market, 100%. A lot of the factors that was present then will not be as prevalent as what we will, you know, what we're experiencing right now. So do I think that, I mean, I picked up a four-bedroom. I was coming out of one property that I bought for $161,000. It was worth, and I had just bought it 6 months ago, and then it turned into, like within 6 months of owning the property, it was short sold for $60,000. That's how ridiculous, like, the market was at that particular time. I turned around and bought another property for $80,000 that was for four-bedroom, two-bath. Do I think that the market is going to come back to those type of dire straits where people are able to, you know, pick up a bunch of properties? No, I don't predict that prices will drop that low, but I do feel because of the foreclosures within the marketplace, it is going to bring the cost to purchase a property down just a little bit more reasonably than what we're seeing right now.
Fair enough. I'm sorry, I'm jumping in because I got to go to break real quick, so bear with me through these breaks. All right, so we'll go back to the break. And the bigger, the more important thing I think for anybody out there listening is, again, this is just y'all put different perspectives on the market, which is obviously what we like to do. We like to have those dialogues back and forth. But more importantly, regardless of the market, which I think is the conversation we need to have, is what does it look like to prepare for a home buying when you are ready? That's the thing that I think matters most, at least from my perspective, and I'll let Ephraim tell me his perspective. Because at the end of the day, somebody's always still wanting to buy regardless if the market is favorable or not. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Have you heard the adage that a picture is worth a thousand words? Well, meet Livy Blue Photography, a premier company specializing in capturing your family portraits and turning them into wall art that stands the test of time. One visit to their website, livyblue.com, and you will immediately be blown away by the experience as you peruse their gallery. The lead photographer, Jalivia Northern, is a published photographer with over 10 years of experience in capturing families, weddings, and school senior portraits. If you want a breathtaking photography experience, contact Livy Blue Photography at livyblue.com. That's LIVIBLUE.com. Do you simply want your taxes done this tax season, or do you prefer to have your taxes completed by a professional on top of current and constantly changing tax codes? If so, look no further than S. Kynes Accounting and Tax Services, where each year, plenty of satisfied customers from around the country return for an efficient and professional tax experience. For small businesses, S. Kynes Accounting and Tax not only provides bookkeeping and accounting on a monthly, quarterly, and or yearly basis, but S. Kynes Accounting and Tax goes above and beyond to provide yearly tax strategies to increase the bottom line, profits. While no one likes when Uncle Sam or the IRS comes knocking, know you're in good hands with S. Kynes Accounting and Tax. Call them today at 770-947-3667. Again, that's 770-947-3667, or email them at advice@thetaxcoach.com.
If you have waited till the last minute, you got 7 days left. advice@thetaxcoach.com. Can do virtual or anywhere around the country. We're talking about a tax professional. So if you're running to somebody who doesn't keep up with the tax laws, you definitely want to get a professional, and I highly recommend S. Kynes Tax and Accounting. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Our special guest, Shawnee Curry, personal finance expert and real estate agent Ephraim Abdullah. So if you will, Ephraim, you're in this business, you're helping people buy homes regardless of market, And so tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but the preparation to, in a sense, be as prepared as you can for the home buying process, that's going to be probably about the same regardless of market, if you will. Tell me if I'm wrong. And for you dealing with clients daily looking for homes, what is preparation, what does that look like? When do you feel like you have a prepared homeowner, if you will?
Yeah, you're right. Regardless of the market, your preparation is going to look almost the same. Now, there are some specifics that some details that may vary dependent on market conditions. But for the most part, you're going to have a certain credit score. Now, that can vary based on the market itself, depending on if we're in a super hot market like we were up to summer, last summer. You know, you may be required to have a higher credit score to get approved. If we're in not as hot of a market, that credit score requirement may be reduced. You know, in a not so hot market, you may have more down payment assistance programs than you do in a super hot market, things like that. In a hot market, you're going to need, generally speaking, more cash. You got to come to the table with more cash a lot of times because sellers are not willing to contribute to closing costs, and they're not willing to do repairs as much as they would be willing to do so in a slower market where it's taking houses longer to sell. So with that being said, the basics of preparing for home ownership, one is getting your finances together. You're having your financial house in order, basically, meaning your credit score. Generally speaking, you know, a lot of people think that, and it's about getting educated too, because a lot of people have a lot of myths about what it takes to buy a house. A lot of people think that you have to have a 750 credit score to buy a house. That's not true. You can, generally speaking, buy a house with a 640 or better, and sometimes that can go lower depending on, like I said, the conditions of what's going on in the mortgage industry. So making sure that's in place, at least a 640. You're more than likely, unless there's significant down payment assistance programs going on, you have to prepare with some reserves at the bare minimum. Even if you get down payment assistance, you still want to have some cash reserves. And if you don't have a down payment assistance program, you're going to have to, at the minimum, come up with a down payment of, you know, let's say, and there's another myth that I'm going to bust right now. A lot of people think that you have to have 20% down to buy a house. You can buy houses with as little as 0% down. Certain loans like a VA loan or a USDA loan, they finance 100%. That means you do not have to come to the table with a down payment. Most people use either FHA or conventional. FHA, regardless of your status as a first-time buyer or an experienced buyer, FHA's minimum down payment is 3.5% of the purchase price of the house. Conventional loans, which you typically have to have a little bit better credit score to qualify for, a little bit solid, more solid financials. As a first-time buyer with a conventional loan, you can put as little as 3% down. As an experienced buyer with a conventional loan, your minimum down payment is only 5%. So, you know, you can see there's a huge difference between that 20% that a lot of people think you have to have and the actual facts of 3%.
Let me ask a quick question. Mm-hmm. Something you said a little earlier, mm-hmm. when you just mentioned the concept of reserves, can you kind of expound on that? And I'm going to jump to Shani after you just give your thoughts real quick. Go ahead, King. Help me understand that a little better, just to hear it for the listeners as well.
Right. So you want to know about the price range that you're going to be buying in to be able to know what type of down payment you potentially have to come up with. That's the biggest thing. You also want to know there's something called closing costs that's associated with buying a house, and that's what's included in that is the if you're getting a mortgage, that's going to be the mortgage origination fees, that's going to be your taxes that you're going to have to pay to transfer the title, you're going to have to pay property taxes, prorated property tax, time of year.
Right. How am I figuring that out as a new homeowner? How am I figuring out these things prior to getting, I'm talking about the preparation for. So if I'm preparing, that's overwhelming the way you're telling it to me now, but I think I can understand reserves. Like, man, maybe I'm wrong. Think about me as I'm considering and I'm getting ready prior to meeting you. What type of, when you said you got to think about reserves, what is thinking about reserves to me? Like, who has it that doesn't have you to talk to yet? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one thing you have to know before you meet an agent,
okay.
You don't have to know this specifically, but it helps to know the price range, because the price of the house that you're going to buy, that you're looking to buy, is going to determine a lot of these costs, right? Some things that you're going to have, regardless of the price of the house, is going to be stuff like the appraisal cost, which is, normally between $500 and $600. You're going to have a home inspection, which is between $400 to $500 usually. You're going to have, that's pretty much the upfront cost. You're going to have to have a earnest money deposit that you're going to put down when you put a contract in.
Let me jump in. I'm going to throw it to Shawnee real quick. So, Shawnee, because you do personal finance, I'm pretty sure, if I had to guess, anybody that listens to you, or I don't know if you coach them or what your process is, but quite often we understand that for the average American, home ownership is typically a goal. And a couple of basic things a lot of people are going to try to have is a place to stay and a car. We just talked about the car in the first hour. And so in helping people prepare their budgets and be in a position to easily buy, what does that look like for you? Again, kind of preparation, because even as I'm listening to Ephraim, I'm still thinking to myself, one, I haven't bought a home. I am familiar with these things because he's my friend, if you will. But prior to having a real estate friend, if you will, just having my finances in order to be ready, I don't even know how to look up the things that he's telling me. But there is kind of a financial place that makes it easier when they say, hey, here's the things you need. If I have you as my finance coach, I probably have those things in place, even though I don't know what the particulars are that Ephraim's sharing. I hope I'm making sense, that I'm coming from someone who doesn't
know. Yeah, you make a lot of sense. But once you get to the point of you want to purchase a home, once you speak to someone like Ephraim, then they're going to say, okay, well, you need to get pre-approved. So I think what he was sharing was that oftentimes people over-prepare, right? You kind of over-prepare because it's like how you say, it's like that mental dialogue that you have with yourself. I think that's why he was kind of talking about some of the misnomers about how much money you have to come to the closing table with, all of those type of things. This is not really, like, purchasing a home is so specific to a person that you can prepare yourself as much as you possibly can, but there's no home purchases that are just the same. So once you meet with a realtor, they're going to direct you directly to a mortgage professional that is going to be able to pre-approve you. So a lot of the preparation that you think that you're doing, and all of the, kind of like the mental anxiety that you might be picking up, it'll be dispelled once you actually meet with a mortgage professional. That's the first thing. Some of the general thoughts to just start having in your mind to start saying, okay, whether or not if I should be purchasing a property. So if you're a savvy person and you have some other ways to invest, maybe you invest in stocks, maybe you, put money into your life insurance policies, and that represents some level of investing for you. But if you're not into any of those type of purchases, then home ownership may seem the least complex. It would seem not as complex as some of the other investment tools. When I go back to my grandmother and my grandfather, oftentimes you talk about what our parents didn't teach us. Well, oftentimes they didn't know. My grandmother and my grandfather did not talk to me about 401ks and stocks and investing, because that really wasn't their mode of wealth creation. They were entrepreneurs, so they created wealth through entrepreneurship, and they purchased
a home. And that was essentially how they invested. They understood that if they made a monthly payment, that at some point they would pay it off, and then they would be able to leave it to their children. That was kind of like their whole point. They weren't in the sophistication of being able to take equity out of the property and purchase another one. That wasn't their process. But all of my grandparents' children own a property. Like, all of, like, my mother owned her first, even though she had me, she was 16. By the time she was 19, she owned the house. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like just passing on that information in terms of, like, ownership. So yeah, maybe I do a lot more sophisticated things with real estate than they ever did at that particular time, but they definitely, through demonstration of ownership, was able to transfer that over to me. So the complexities that you're trying to mitigate in your mind, they just really can't happen in your mind. You just simply have to be looking at, okay, which other ways am I investing? Am I investing in stocks? Am I investing in this? No? Okay, but I'm already paying rent. So how can I put something that I'm already doing to work so that it moves from being just something that I'm paying and I have to get out of? How do I convert something that the money I'm already putting out and turn it into an investment? That's going to be the thoughts that you're going to start moving to yourself. And then all everything else is going to come after that.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. So, yeah, you get a – you know, you first thing they'll tell you is at least go get a pre-approval so you have an idea of what you can get or whatever. And so if I get pre-approved, and I'll use an easy number, like $150,000, just using an easy number. I know that's can't buy much of a house with that anymore, but I'm just using an easy number. But if it's $150,000 and you say, okay, I think I'll be able to go for, you know, this particular type of loan based, you know, everybody's, like you said, everybody's history is different or whatever. But I was a loan officer. And so sometimes people are making that approach, and we get at that point where we say, go back, and you've got to have this, you know, this additional amount saved, if you will, in order to back up even the 3% down, like when you use the term reserves or whatever. And so I'm just thinking, you know, for somebody, if I don't know what reserves means, well, you know, I don't have a game plan for that. You know what I mean? And so I'm just thinking of
most people have some, even when you think about it, right? Even if you say, okay, and the average cost to purchase a house right now, at least in South Florida, is $340,000, right? So even if you just look up the average, what is the average cost to purchase a house? You know, just look at that number and then move to a mortgage calculator and say, okay, what would be a monthly payment on this? You know, if I did $340,000, what would be a monthly payment? Oh, okay, how much am I paying in rent right now? Okay, my rent right now, heck, when I'm looking at some of my clients, that range might be anywhere from $1,500 to $3,800, right? So give or take, they may have to add $200 to that payment. They may have to add five. So my point is that you can't really do this in your mind, right? It's not the best thing. It's just for you to begin to look at your current financial resources and say, how can I begin to put the money that I already have, how can I put that?
Nah, that makes sense. Nah, that's
lovely. They know, whoever did that screen, they agreed with me. They were like, yeah, that's it. So that was loud roar. But that would be, you know, that would be the first thing. Just start asking yourself, okay, the resources that I have, how can I grow these resources? How can I put them to work for myself, you know, and then you'll get it. So maybe you'll have a conversation and maybe you might do 0%. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the first property that I purchased, I was 21 years old. I saw the model. I love the model because all of my friends were real estate investors. I knew that I had some leverage. I was able to get them to do seller concessions where they contributed. I got all the furniture in the model, so I didn't buy any furniture. They probably, you know, now looking back, they probably added the $4,000 or $5,000 to the purchase price, you know, unbeknownst to me at that particular time. But there was a whole bunch that I didn't know. I also was a banker at that particular time. So because I was working at the bank, they paid my closing costs. So I was able to kind of use all of that. The point of the matter is you don't know what tools you're going to have access to until you actually, you know, meet with a mortgage broker, until you say, even if they tell you, okay, you need 3% to 5%, you can also go into your 401k and take money out of your 401k, because if you're doing it as a first-time home buyer, there's no taxation on that money. You don't have any penalties if it's your first property. So there's so many possibilities available to you that you can't know until you actually start looking at your current finances and start saying, okay, how can I grow this money? And start looking for ways to grow your current resources. And that may trigger you to go sit with a mortgage broker.
No, absolutely. And even simply that, when you say, good, look at it, here's the average cost, look at a market calculator. I'm just offering that there's plenty of people who have the idea of wanting a home. And even that simple thing is not even a part of the process. And it's because you said it, now I can do that and you can start working from that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just about even simplifying it all the way down to that is something that I would consider very important steps for somebody who says, mm-hmm. I know I want a home one day. Where do I start? I feel like that's a beautiful mm-hmm. place to start. Well, we are up against the break. We'll let Ephraim get in. Ashley, I think I see you out there. If you want to get in, jump, press one if you want to. But thank you for tuning in. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Try the sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Sipping Deal. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com, is that it?
Yep.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Special guest, Shani Curry, as well as Ephraim Abdullah. Our caller, Ashley, wants to get in. Thank you, Queen, for calling in. What you got for us, for either of our special guests, or any thoughts you want to give to this morning's discussion?
Oh, no. I really appreciate the conversation. I am hopefully meeting Ephraim tomorrow to go look at property. So I'm here for the conversation because it real time applies to my life.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So Ephraim, if I will, I'm going to start here. What if there's a concept, because to Shani's point, it's so varied for so many people. And it's, again, I was just kind of starting all the way back to the starting process. Are there things that you consider mistakes that people make in coming to you or being prepared? I'm not saying there are. I'm just using that term. Are there, in a sense, mistakes that people make in the home buying process, in your opinion?
I think one of the biggest mistakes people make before the process is just not knowing what it actually takes. Like what I was talking about earlier, about how much, what percentage does it actually take down on a house? What's your credit score? What's the qualifying credit score to buy a house? That's probably two of the biggest things that I hear people talk about that are really keeping them from buying, because they think that it takes so much more than it actually does. And they could, and they think that, it's going to be so much mm-hmm. harder for me to get out of renting than it is and into buying than it actually is, that they don't even have in their mindset that I can buy. So they never start thinking about the process realistically. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I appreciate Shani mentioning the things that she did about, the home buying process is so specific to each individual and their financial situation and their life situation, what's going on in their life, what are their needs and wants at this particular stage or whatever they are in their life. So it's not something that's like a one-size-fits-all. But some of those things that you can know, just knowing that, okay, I don't need a 750 credit score. You know what I mean? If I'm thinking, if I got a 650 and I'm thinking I need a 750 to qualify, I'm just not going to, I'm going to be working, maybe trying to get that up to that 750, but I could have bought a long time ago if I knew that it only took a 640. You know what I mean? So
no, that makes
that type of stuff. Yeah, so what she was talking about, especially getting the mortgage broker, mortgage lender, absolutely, that's like the first step. You have to kind of you almost have to. You can do some basic numbers, you know, just sample numbers, whatever. You can pick up a price point. You can say, okay, my rent is $1,500 a month, and I can go into a calculator and put in different price points of homes and figure out, well, how much is it gonna, how much house can I buy for that same $1,500 a month or $1,600 or $1,700 a month to give you an idea. But ultimately, you're gonna have to approach some professionals at some point to really get. To get you on track as far as and tell you everything that you're going to need to get into that process.
No, it makes sense. Johnny, if you will, Queen, you know, like you said, people understanding what credit scores it take, and that can vary, like you said, from the beginning per market. But I know you specialize in helping people, in a sense, build their credit. And I think we all understand that, you know, it's typically the higher it is, the better interest rate you may get, which saves you money. And so in helping people with that process, any ideas or thoughts? And again, I think that process helps people, whether it's a home or car buying situation, but just wanted to, you know, have you give some thoughts in the area that you help people with specifically.
Mm-hmm. So I think the probably the pattern that at least Ephraim and I are echoing is that it's not as hard as you think. You know, it's not as hard as you think. And even if it's as hard as you think at first, the more that you work at it, the easier it will become. So the first thing has got to be the desire to just grow your money. That has to be the first thing. Like, how can I grow my current resources has to be like the thing to just move your mind. That's first. I've seen people get into homes at as little as a 580 and then as high as a 750, right? I personally wouldn't get caught up on like what my particular credit score is. In terms of like the interest rate, because you can actually buy down your interest rates, you can actually refinance your interest rates. I mean, there's so many things that you're able to do to actually get, you know, into the process. Even when we talk about credit, right, even no matter what your credit score is, the range for credit scores, the lowest possible credit score you can have is a 300. The highest possible credit score that you can have is an 850, right? So no matter where you are, let's say you're at a 600, if you work on it for at least 3 to 4 months, you're going to gain 100 points. And that's all you really need, no matter where you are. If you're at a 600, you gain 100 points, you're at 700. The scale isn't 300 to 5,000. You know,
yeah,
so your growth saying. Goal is not, you know what I'm saying? Like your growth goal is an astronomical, you know?
It matters that we get that perspective, though.
Yeah, you don't have that long to go. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like you're having to run to 1,000 no matter where you are. If you're at a 450, you get 100 points, you're at a 550. You know, if you're at a 700, you get 100 points, right? It's a little bit more difficult. It gets a little bit more complicated to move from the 700 into the 800, especially if you don't own real estate. So it's a little bit difficult to kind of move into that space. Do people do it? Yes. However, you have to remember credit scores are based on risk. So the less risky you seem to me as a person, the higher the probability that I want to give you a loan. So those credit scores, like if you're under the 700 and you do not own real estate, you can almost bet that that's kind of the standard, because the credit bureau and anybody that's loaning you money is going to make the assumption about you, because you own real estate, that you are less likely to gamble your livelihood. They make that assumption. They make that assumption, and statistically it does work out, you know? Just like I wanted to get better car insurance when I got older, because essentially, statistically, the older you become, the less riskier of a driver that you become. Yeah. That's the same exact thing with real estate. So the point of the matter is, if you're paying any amount right now for rent. And maybe, you know, everybody says you can pay for the same amount that you can rent for. In some cases, yes. In some cases, no, depending on what the market is. But what you can't get for that $200 to $300 differential is the ability to, you know, sell the property, take equity out of the property, take, you know, buy something else, you know, buy another property, all things in which I have done. It's just, I'm so glad that I started, you know, let's say if I, when I was 20, when I bought that first property, let's say that short sale was the end of me, you know, like that was the end of me. Let's say, I'm not buying any more property ever again. And that's mm-hmm. the, which is oftentimes what happens with people, you know, that wasn't the, I thought I was, you know, a big deal. Being 21, buying my first property, losing my mm-hmm. job 6 months later, short selling, the market tanks. I mean, like, that's like the home buyer's, you know, death in me. But I didn't lose, you know, I didn't lose focus. I turned around, bought another property. That property is now worth $460,000, depending on the day that you, you know, you look at it. So mm-hmm. I'm a strong advocate for it, no matter where you are, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. If you only have to really gain 25 points every month. What are some simple things that you can begin to do to grow your score no matter where you are right now so that you can jump up 100 points? The number one thing is that if you're looking to purchase a house, you don't want to load up your credit report with tons of inquiries through shopping for a car. It's just not the best thing for you to do. Choose one thing at a time. Don't overload your credit report while you're trying to purchase a house and purchase a car. Some people can do it because they make just that much money, but if you don't make that, you know how much money you have access to. Some people can afford to do both. Most people cannot afford to pick up the average cost of a car at the same time and pick up a house at the same time. So I'm not going to speak to the outliers. I'm going to speak to, you know, right, middle America that really needs to just do one thing at a time. So you don't want to be shopping for a car and shopping for a house at the same exact time. You're going to get a lot of inquiries. Mm-hmm. You have a question? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quick question. And I got to go to break. I'll let you give the other pointers after the break. Mm-hmm. The question is, how far apart in the event that you kind of want to look for both? And like I said, people make that mistake, and I agree. I'm glad that you're speaking to middle America in that sense. But how far mm-hmm. apart, if you will, let's say I'm, because I'm actually in this situation where I'm looking to get a car or whatever, but I know I want to own a home in a year or two. So how far out should I kind of keep that apart? And then we'll go to break after you answer that question.
Okay, excellent question. So credit is made. So when you're looking at your credit report and your score, the basis of it, it's made up of your behavior over the last 3 years, which is a total of 36 months. That's what they're looking at the most. Hopefully, in listening to me in any particular way, hopefully you're securing your car loan through a credit union so that you're not having to deal with 15, 16, 17, 18, and I'm not even inflating those. When I look at my client's credit report, how aggressively, you know, a person will shop their scores, it's just crazy to me. They will shop your credit score 15, 20 times. Just go to a credit union. Start building a relationship with a credit union now, preferably USAA, just because having associations with the military oftentimes get you better rates on things when it comes to CDs and all those types of things. So that would be the first thing. If you don't listen to those parts and you go in and shop for a car and they load you up with tons of inquiries, you can just any inquiries that you didn't actually get the thing for. So let's say you go shop for a car, they load you up with 17 inquiries, you can dispute all of the ones where you didn't get a loan from. So nice. It's a chance to happen to do that within that time. Also, if you're thinking about picking up a very hefty car payment, right, now you're moving over to debt-to-income ratio, right? That's what I'm talking about. So it's not really the time span in which you do it, because the inquiries can be easily removed. It's really about, okay, if your rent right now is $2,500 and you go and pick up a $700 car payment, that's going to really, really have an impact on how much you have available to purchase a house, right? So that's why a lot of times
It is strongly advocated that you purchase the car after you purchase
makes
the house
sense.
Because they want
to leave
room
break.
For
Let
you
me...
to get a decent amount of car. Okay.
No, makes sense. That makes sense. We'll go to this last break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Are you intimidated by money? While this is a question most people never think to ask themselves, but when forced to think about it, many people realize they have unrecognized fears that truly affect how they deal with money. If you want to learn more about money and the fears that keep you from prosperity, join us for Making Money Matter Mondays, where money meets mental health with personal finance coach Ashley Thomas and psychotherapist Dr. Katrina Pitts. Every second Monday of the month, find out if you're intimidated by money and what to do about it. To receive a link to this free Zoom event, please DM the Making Money Matter or the Mental Dialogue Instagram pages or contact 404-604-9477.
Ashley, we are fortunate enough to have you on at this time. So if you will, highlight what you're doing for them to in a couple of days with the Making Money Matter Mondays and how people can be a part of that, if you will. Thank you for being with us, Queen.
Yeah, so we are going to have a Q&A session this Monday, April 10th at 8 p.m. It's a free conversation with myself and Dr. Katrina Pittman. So if you have questions about your money, what you're doing with it, if you have questions about your mental health, this is a perfect opportunity to come on and chat with professionals for free. So if you want the Zoom link, you can DM me on Instagram, TikTok, at Making Money Matter, LLC. You can also DM Mental Dialogue, and the link will be available for you to join the conversation. Again, just the opportunity to ask those questions in a very relaxed environment, no pressure. We hope that you will join us.
No, love it. People really underestimate how closely mental health and how they act with their money are. So glad to be partnered with Ashley to do Making Money Matter Mondays. This morning's discussion question, home and car buying, what I wasn't taught in high school. Special guest, real estate agent Ephraim Abdullah, as well as personal finance expert Shawnee Curry. Shawnee, you are making some comments. I'm sorry I asked you a question, but I wanted to let you finish up and continue, you know, and give out these pieces of advice that people can hopefully get beyond just the knowledge, but they're able to process it and figure out how to use them in the process, because that is the mental dialogue, the step that you have to take to make knowledge available and usable. That's when it is applied power, if you will. Go ahead, Queen.
So the other side is I remember when the first property that I looked at was obviously the first property that I bought. And I think the biggest part of it is, who your circle of influence is made up of. Because obviously when I graduated from college, all of my friends were buying, you know, status symbols to share with the world that obviously, you know, we graduated, when in fact, you know, they had loaded up on a bunch of debt. So now you go and get a new car to let everybody know that you can afford to get even more debt, which is very, very, you know, very interesting, right? I can get more debt. You know, I got student loan debt and I get more debt. So I skipped that process. And because of who my circle of influence is, so just listening to the show, as you know, as a point, is always going to be a place to just generate the thoughts.
in which you, you know, strongly advocate for, which I'm a strong advocate for, because those thoughts are going to, you know, stay with you and begin to influence you throughout all of your processes. So my circle of influence at that time were real estate investors. So that wasn't the first time. The first time the property that I purchased was not the property that I got. I also, when I was purchasing that property, because I bought a car while I was in college and I paid it off by the time I got out of college, but that was the only thing that I had gotten. My mother was very, very rigid when it came to me picking up card, you know, any type of credit card debt. So I literally didn't have any credit at all. These are all things that I learned, you know, in the process, right? I didn't know as much as I needed to know, no matter how many real estate friends and buddies and investors that I hung out with, they still didn't know my personal money scenario. You know, they couldn't plug me into anything until we started plugging in prices and things like that. So I didn't have any credit because I didn't, you know, I didn't get any credit cards when I was in college. My mom was adamant about it. So now you want to jump from, you know, this $15,000 car that I had paid off versus now I want to purchase a, you know, a property for $150,000, $180,000 at that particular time. And no one, you know, they didn't want to take a risk on me because the only thing they knew about me was that I can pay off that $15,000. So at that time, I was living in an apartment. I was living in an apartment, and I was working for the Lexus dealership at that particular time, speaking of which, going back into this time. So I was making a decent amount of money. So, you know, it wasn't an issue in terms of money. It was like total credit. So I learned that in 6 months. So I learned that, you know, when I went and applied, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get out of this apartment. My rent at that time might have been $1,800 to $1,900. I'm like, I'm going to get out of it, and I'm going to go back and move back home with my parents. I moved back home with my parents. I stopped spending the amount of money that I was spending on rent. I took that amount of money, and I just started saving it. Whatever it is that I needed to do, one of the key things that I did was my grandfather, I told him to add me to his credit card. So he added me to his credit card. My grandfather had tons of credit card history that I myself did not have, but through his good credit having self, I was able to absorb some of his good credit by attaching myself as an authorized user. When I did that, I was able to start getting, you know, access to more credit just because of that particular association. So sometimes maybe your parents doesn't necessarily, you know, drop down on the down payment, but through association to their credit will give you the opportunity to kind of leverage that particular relationship, which is essentially what it is that I did. So at first I was told, no, you don't have enough credit. You don't have any of these things like that. In the process, I left the Lexus dealership once I was set. These are all the things you can't know. When I'm working at the Lexus dealership, I actually ended up selling a car to my boss at the bank. That's how I moved from the car dealership to the bank. These are all things that you can't know is going to happen when you're in the process of looking for what it is that you're, you know, that you're going to want. So then while I – one of the things that I picked up from moving from working at the car dealership to now working into going into the bank, I didn't know that they had special programming as a banker that they were going to contribute to my down payment. So that's why I'm a strong advocate to getting into the process, because you don't know what your process is. You know, you don't know it. You know what I'm saying? It continues to unfold as you continue to emerge in it. I took a no, right? I took a no. And thankfully, working at the car dealership, maybe my income would have been a little bit more unstable at that particular time. So I had to wait that 6 months. I had to go back to my parents' house after living, you know, outside of their home. At that point, I did 4 years in college, another three living outside of the home, and then, you know, all of those things. So it's so much of the process that you can't know until you get into the process, get told no, and then come back 6 months later. I didn't come back 6 years later. I didn't come back, you know, 16 years later. So that's why I say get into the process so that you can see what it, you know, what it reveals.
No, I love it. I love it. Let me jump a little quick. We only got a few minutes left here. If you will, Ephraim, you know, I know you have children as well. And so, if you can briefly kind of make this brief, there's a concept that you wish, I know you wish your, in a sense, son would consider. He's at the age where he possibly can buy a home. So what does it look like for another parent out there listening, saying, hey, here's something that someone who's looking to buy a home right now, what's the concept they they could or should consider based on what you see in the market as a real estate agent? Any thoughts real quick on that?
House hacking is the biggest one right now. And, you know, that's a huge one. Either through house hacking is, you know, living in a space and renting out part of that space. So whether it's a single family home, let's say two bedrooms, a townhouse or a condo, and you rent out the second bedroom, or it's a three bedroom, you rent out the other two. Or another way to do that is to buy multifamily, small multifamily, 2 to 4 units, so a duplex with 2 units, let's say, and you live in one and rent the other one out, or up to 4 units where you live in one and rent the other 3. So you can buy those, a 2 to 4 unit property, you can buy those as residential and only have to put down the minimum down payment that we talked about earlier, 3 to 5%, and be able to purchase those and qualify without it being considered commercial. So that's the biggest one. That's what I talk to my kids about, house hacking, trying to get a multifamily first as opposed to a single family. If it's possible, it's getting harder right now because the price has gone up so much. But if you can, that's the best way to do it, starting off for anyone, I would say.
Now, I love it. Hey, y'all heard it from a real estate agent. If you can do it, that's something you consider, something that I had never heard until I got older. And so if you can prepare your kids with that kind of stuff, please do. Shawnee, if you will, in this last minute, let them know not only how they can stay in contact with you, but tell them about your program on Wednesday night that I'm looking to try to be a part of as well. But go ahead, Queen.
Okay, so one of the cool things that I do through my platform is a money book club, and we're having our meeting on Wednesday. It's through Zoom. So if you're listening in and you go to personempowerment.com, I'll just send you the link. If you don't start reading through this weekend, then the first book meeting for you would feel a lot like a book discussion if you didn't have, because literally it's on Wednesday. So if you get the book now, you'll only really be able to knock it out between these 2 days. But sometimes if you have a deadline so close to the deadline, it'll motivate you to go ahead and get it done. The book that we're reading is called The Body Keeps the Score, which plays a large role in how it is that we begin to make financial decisions. One of the strong advocates in this particular book advocates that one of the biggest threats to public health is actually child abuse, which has absolutely nothing to do with this particular conversation. However, when it is that we have so many challenges when it comes to childhood trauma and things like that, it can really create a level of immaturity, mental immaturity. So when we have to make decisions like purchasing a house or purchasing a car, and we're feeling this mass amount of anxiety, oftentimes it's not coming from the scenario that's being presented to us. It's oftentimes coming to us from the scenarios that were presented to us previously. So all of the books that we read within the book club are not necessarily personal finance books, but they are about issues that may be stagnating your process to making strong financial decisions. So that's why this particular book was chosen, because I want to be able to motivate people to kind of look at things that surrounding their financial goals as to why it may be taking them so long to, you know, particularly, you know, move from thinking about buying a house to going into the process of actually purchasing a house. How does this resemble something from some of the other places that you might have experienced in your life? So consider it, you know. Consider the book club. It's completely free. We read together once a month. And if you don't read the book over the weekend, at least you can be a part of the book discussion.
Yeah, I always recommend for people, you can take book clubs as recommendations for something you really want to read just from hearing people talk about what they got from the book. So yeah, mm-hmm. with only a couple of days notice, if what she's doing, Shawnee's doing, makes sense to you, follow her at, is it Faith? Tell them where to follow you at, and we're out of here.
It's at Purse Empowerment. It's at Purse Empowerment.
Purse Empowerment. Go find mm-hmm. that via IG, correct? Am I correct? Is that mm-hmm. the only place?
Yep.
Any other social media?
Definitely correct.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
That's the only social I have.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So hopefully I can join in and get this great advice. Because as she said, and as Ashley always talks about, your money is often moved by your other things in your life, not just you thinking about the money. So I love this approach with this book club.
Yes.
All right. Thank you both for your time this morning. I hope people have learned a lot. Ashley, thank you for jumping in as well. I'll see y'all next Saturday. All I ask is that you think.